The gospel lesson this morning. There we find one of the shortest descriptions of Jesus healing anyone ever in his whole ministry. It's only a half a verse. They remained silent. Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. You know, I titled the message this morning, "Who Do You See?" Because in that gospel lesson this morning, there's a whole lot of people looking very closely at other people. There's first of all Jesus, who observes the invited guests coming to the banquet hall. And I can't help but wonder if there wasn't a smile on Jesus' face as he saw the invited guests all jockeying for the very best seats in the house, the places of honor and utmost respect. And then there are the people who are seated there who are actually observing Jesus. Jesus looks at that man who's there, quite strangely perhaps, who's suffering from dropsy. You know, that was the Old Testament description of a time when a person, like even many times today, their body retains on large amounts of fluid. I think today there's a drug that's called LASIK that helps people to get rid of some of that fluid, though it keeps them running to the bathroom oftentimes. Who do you see? When we look at other people in the world, especially with those who have great needs, you know, we might even ask ourselves, why was Jesus invited to that dinner that evening in the home of that prominent Pharisee? St. Luke has just told us at the end of chapter 13 that there were a group of Pharisees who had come to Jesus. And they asked him, they said to him, "Jesus, get out of here because Herod wants to kill you." And we don't know if their concern for Jesus was genuine or not. You know, it perhaps was genuine. They just wanted Jesus to get out of a town because of his immense popularity, of which they were all becoming very jealous. And yet the fact that he was becoming so immensely popular also meant that he could no longer be rejected by them. You know, it says there that one Sabbath they invited Jesus to this house and they were all watching him carefully. The people who are the experts in the original language tell us that they were watching him the way that an animal watches its prey. You know, if there's a cat and there's a mouse a few feet away, how the cat has to wait for just a moment to jump upon that mouse. They were going to do their best they could to discredit Jesus. They were going to prove him of a rumor that had been going around that Jesus had no respect for the law of God because he had been continuously healing people on the Sabbath. Why, there's already four other instances prior to this where Jesus healed somebody to the Sabbath. On the fourth chapter of Luke, Jesus was preaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Remember that man possessed with demons? Jesus heals him. And later that afternoon at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law is sick in bed with a fever. Jesus not only heals her, but he does it on the Sabbath. In chapter 6, he heals a man who's suffering with a withered hand. In chapter 13, he heals a woman, how Luke describes it, who was a physician, says that she was suffering from a back. She was bent over and she could not stand up straight. Maybe today a doctor would label that as osteoporosis. Jesus had been invited that they might find some reason to discredit him and do their best to make him look bad in the eyes of religious authorities. And the fact that everybody was just sitting there watching each other and nobody saying anything may have been a key that they were clued in as to what was happening ahead of time. They remained silent, and so Jesus asked, "Is it wrong to heal a person on the Sabbath or not?" They remained silent. And so Jesus healed him and then sent him away. Healed him, that word means completely healed him, body, mind, and spirit, and sent him away. You know, there was a verse in the book of Deuteronomy that if your brother's ox falls into a ditch, don't just leave him there in the ditch after, because it's your brother's ox and you don't really care what happens to your brother's ox, because if it was your ox, you would certainly get that ox out of the ditch right away. Or if a person were to fall into a ditch. But what did these people see, you know, when they were looking at that man who had been invited, who was suffering from the dropsy? Invited probably because they were wondering if Jesus would do it again. Would he take time to heal somebody on a Sabbath day? They didn't see that man as someone whom they loved. They didn't see him as someone whom they cared for. Oh, they may have realized that he had a serious problem, but they were willing to leave it at that. You know, when Jesus looks at people, he looks at them as people whom he loves, and he's certain that the Heavenly Father loves them too. Why, think of that rich young ruler who came wanting to know what he could do to inherit eternal life. Jesus starts with the law, keep the Ten Commandments. I've kept all the Ten Commandments perfectly, and you know, we know how impossible that is. And yet Jesus, St. Mark says, looking at him, loved him. Jesus loved that woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. Jesus loved Mary and Martha when they were weeping at the graveside of Lazarus. Why, even in the hour of his passion, when Peter denied Jesus for the third time in a row, it was just in that moment, St. John tells us, that Jesus was being escorted through the courtyard of the high priest right there by Jesus. And John says that when Peter denied him for the third time, Jesus looked at him. What kind of look do you think it was that was on Jesus' face? Do you think it was one of those kinds of looks that we describe sometimes? Have you ever said to another person, you know, if looks could kill you, I'd be dead? That we sometimes look at each other with disdain and disgust and resentment. I don't believe that's how Jesus looked at Peter at all that day. You know, why does Jesus then go on to give this lecture? About when you're invited to a dinner party, he quotes the Old Testament lesson that Barbara read for us a few moments ago. Reminding us that whenever we seek places of honor, when we seek places of respect, sometimes that's the best way to lose it right away. It's kind of like humility, isn't it? If you think that you finally have gotten to that point where you truly are a humble person, that's probably when you lose the humility at all. You know, who are the humble people of this world? They're not the ones who see themselves somehow as the self-made people. Why, I'm the one who's earned everything that I have, and I did it all of my own strength and power. You know, the humble people of this world are those who confess with the psalmist and say it from the deepest conviction of their heart and mind of God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We're just the sheep of his pasture and the people of his hand. And then, having been born again into the kingdom of God, we respond to others. We look at others in need, and we also are to see others as people whom we love, because we do indeed love them. And Jesus, you know, said nobody's to be excluded. What shocking words of Jesus they were, when he says in his Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies and do well to those who persecute you, to those who've sinned against you, to those who've caused you sorrow and deep anguish. Can you look in the power of the gospel and love? Jesus, hanging from the cross, looked at all who had nailed them there, and he loved them, including me and you, because it was also our sins that crucified Jesus to the cross. Jesus, pinned to the cross, says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so as we're invited forward again today to the table, to the banquet table, to receive the assurance of salvation, the gift of sins all forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, to receive again the hope of eternal life, he invites us to come forward to his table, knowing that he's going to call us at our appointed hour to the best seats ever, to the very seats at the table of God in heaven. You know, as we cling in faith to Christ, God graciously continues to seat us in his kingdom. Come up here, he says, to the font, and be washed in the baptismal waters, and be joined to Christ. Come up here to receive the forgiveness of sins and be reconciled to me and to one another. Come up here to hear my word and allow my Holy Spirit to create within you a new heart. Come up here, eat and drink at my table and feast on the abundance of my house. Come up here, remain in my presence forever, never to be separated from me ever again, and rejoice in the unending life I have given you. Who do you see? Do you see Jesus? That's what the writer of Hebrews said. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. It's in seeing Jesus for who he is that we see ourselves in a whole new light and are empowered by the Holy Spirit to see one another in a whole new light as well. Who do you see? Amen.